How about this? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, sure, that's not a slam dunk scripture for you, but again, it lends to this cumulative case. A lot of these scriptures are slam dunks. Some of them aren't. But again, it lends to a cumulative case that clearly Jesus is God. And yeah, I know in Christian Science, Jesus and the Christ are kind of separated. Well, if Jesus is declared God, and if Christ is declared God, I think we can conclude that Jesus and Christ are one and the same. But we'll get to that later, all right? So let's move on. I wanted to point out a couple other scriptures from the book of Isaiah that kind of connect to this whole idea of what we just saw in Matthew 1:23. Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born," we're talking about Jesus here, "unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor." I'm sorry. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Did you notice Mighty God in there?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's look at some more scriptures here. Isaiah 43, verse 10 and 11. All right. "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and," here's the key part, "and besides me there is no Savior." So I want to hold on to that. Besides me there is no Savior. And now that you got that in your head, I'm going to totally sidetrack you and really quick just add, this is a great scripture to show Mormons, because they believe that there are many gods, basically infinite gods. And this scripture, there's a few others that are right here in this vein of Isaiah, that basically God is saying there is no other gods. Did you hear that? Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Now, Mormons believe that there's like this infinite progression of gods where a god and a god wife got together and had spirit children, and they all populated a planet. And some of those spirit children climbed up the ranks in Mormonism, and they did the right things, and they became gods in their own right. And they were able, then, these gods, each one of them got many spirit wives, and they produced spirit babies to populate their own planet that they're a god of. All right? So God here is saying, there was no God formed before me, nor shall there be after me. Anyway, great sidetrack. Sorry, guys. But I love that. Anyway, I did show that to a Mormon once, and no, not once, sorry, several times now. But one particular time, literally the Mormon started shaking. It bothered him that much. No, he didn't fall on his knees right there in my living room. But it did have a surprising effect on him. And I'm hoping and praying that today, a couple years later, he is out of that church and hopefully into the truth. But anyway, let's get back to it, Boehm. Come on. So anyway, besides me, there is no Savior, right? That's what God said. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Talking about Jesus here. "To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Man, that's a double whammy. Peter's saying Jesus is God and Savior. Well, according to Isaiah 43, 10 and 11, besides me, there is no Savior. So which is it? Again, we're stuck with this dilemma here, this dichotomy. Either the Bible is corrupt, as Mary Baker Eddy says, and has absolutely no evidence to back up, or the facts are in. God and Jesus are one and the same. Jesus is God. Let's go on. Still in that same vein of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43, saying, besides me there is no Savior, let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other. What? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And this is Luke, and he's talking about Jesus. Huh. All right. There it is again, guys. How about Titus, chapter 2, verse 13? Again, we're on the same vein here about besides me, there is no God. There is no other Savior. Titus says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, and grammatically speaking, when he's talking about that great God, it's connected to God is the Savior, Jesus Christ. So let me read that again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, that's a double whammy. We have Jesus being called God here, and in case you missed it, he's called the Savior. And again, God in the Old Testament says, besides me, there is no Savior. All right. So I think that's a dead horse, right? But wait, there's more. Sorry. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's look at another one. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. All right, okay, so when did God purchase his church with his own blood? Oh, yeah, because Jesus is God, and he purchased the church with his own blood. Let's look at another one. Romans chapter 9, verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God, blessed forever. Amen. Christ came, who is over all God, blessed forever. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. All right, so why did I read those two verses? Well, the voice of him crying in the wilderness is John the Baptist, and he's saying, make ye the way of the Lord. And they're talking about Yahweh here, but in the New Testament, they're clearly talking about Jesus. Again, we're looking at the whole Bible here, and it's all lining up. What about this Joel 2:32? Well, it's talking about whoever shall call on the name of the Lord. But in the New Testament, it continues to say calling on the name of the Lord is talking about Jesus. Acts 2:21. Check this out. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Luke is talking about Jesus there. I'm sorry, that is Luke writing, but it was Peter speaking that particular line there. All right, so let's change gears here. And I want to show you something else. It's going to take place mainly in the book of Revelation. This particular line of argument is really good when you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness as well. So take notes there. In fact, I've used this with Jehovah's Witnesses, and they were definitely affected. Here's the deal. It's also in the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation. When they did this translation of theirs, they did not take these scriptures out. So they're very effective. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6 says this. It says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me." Okay? So who's speaking here? It's God. Okay? It's Father. Jehovah's Witness would say it's Jehovah. Whatever the case, it's God, all right, saying that I am the first and I am the last. But if you go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, it says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And behold, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." All right. Jesus was the guy that had the keys of death and Hades, right? You know, Matthew, I think, what was it, chapter 16, verse 13 or something like that? I might have that wrong, but anyway. But when was God, the Father, the living one, and then was dead, and then all of a sudden, behold, he was alive again? Well, he wasn't. Jesus was alive. He was crucified. He died for our sins on a cross. He was put in a tomb for 3 days, and then he rose from the dead bodily. Check this out. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. Kind of says it again. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Again, when was God dead and then alive? And here's the thing. In this verse, it's Jesus speaking. And that's very clear. And Jesus is calling himself the first and the last. But I thought that was a title reserved only for God. Okay. Dead horse. Let's move on. And some of you right now are thinking, "Good gravy, man. You've been on this forever. Let's get off of it." I know, but I really want to beat this dead horse. When you're talking to a Christian Scientist, you know, you want to have all these scriptures at your disposal. Some of you are listening to this because you are trying to reach somebody in Christian Science and you do want these scriptures. So here they are, but I'm going to keep going. I'll try to make this quick. Sorry, guys, but I just want to beat this dead horse. I want you guys to get this. John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." 1 Timothy 3:16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Yeah. 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Now, again, in this same vein, Jesus is worshipped multiple times in the Bible, okay? And if, well, When Jesus confronted Satan, right, he was fasting for 40 days, he said, "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." All right? The Old Testament, multiple times, says worshiping God and God alone, right? But here we have, in the New Testament, Jesus receiving worship. Check this out. Matthew 2, verse 2. The wise men that came to bring Jesus gifts, they came to worship him too. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, those same guys fell down before Mary and fell down before Jesus and worshiped him. Matthew chapter 14, verse 33, those who were on the boat worshiped Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and what? And worshiped him. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, we read that all the angels should worship him. And then, of course, you guys already heard Thomas falling on his knees and saying, "My Lord and my God," after he put his fingers in Jesus' side and the nail holes in his hands. And lastly, it just should be pointed out that when Stephen was being stoned in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, Stephen being stoned, he looks up and he prays to Jesus. All right, so I believe I have thoroughly beat a dead horse here. But at this point, you guys see clearly that the Bible shows that Jesus is God. I have not exhausted all the scriptures that point to Jesus as God. There are plenty more. There are quite a few more. I just went over a few, and I think you guys were probably at this point getting sick of hearing about it. But just so we know, the Bible clearly states that Jesus is God. All right? And I think this is a good place to stop. So with that, come out to the website. It's apologeticstraining.com. And I would love to talk to you guys. Please leave comments. I want to talk to you guys and get to know you guys, as well as I want you guys to meet each other. Also, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.